It seems like just yesterday that Los Angeles was lifting basketball's most coveted prize, and since then we've had the draft, trades, free agency, and luckily for us sports fans, DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is here to kick off the 2021 basketball season with a no-brainer for all customers, new and existing. If you haven't tried DraftKings Sportsbook yet, head to the App Store now because you don't want to miss this. To celebrate the return of basketball, DraftKings Sportsbook is giving you a plus 75-point spread on the team of your choice on opening night. That's right. All you have to do is bet on any opening night game, and if your team doesn't lose by more than 75 points, you will double your money. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code MHS when you sign up to get a plus 75-point spread on opening night for a shot to double your money. That's code MHS to get a shot at doubling your money on opening night for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older. Colorado only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
And welcome back, Afternoon Drive, Goodman and Mason. Watch us, MileHighSports.com. You can reach us on the Granite Liquidators Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. Go to GraniteLiquidators.com right now. Giving away $20 to Smokin' Dave's Barbecue and Brew. Easily the best barbecue in town. Outstanding sides. You know what else? They have great non-barbecue options. If you want to go on us, give us a call on the hotline, 303-831-1340. 303-831-1340. And you know what? I'll be in the Christmas spirit. First two callers are going to get $20 each. How do you like that? 303-831-1340. Time now for the lead.
The lead is presented by Granite Liquidators. Granite Liquidators is granite buying made simple. Find them in Wheat Ridge or go to graniteliquidators.com.
Okay, so Vic Fangio met the media today, and he said he expects Garrett Bowles, Noah Fant, Gordon, and Lindsey to be ready for Saturday. How much of a difference do you think that's going to make? And enough said. Let's
move on. Well, I mean,
wow, that was a ringing endorsement.
Bowles is a huge impact, but yes. You expect the running backs, though. I mean, I think you'll see Philip Lindsey out there. I think you'll
you're
see
really Melvin struggling Gordon. With this.
No, because it's not because
it, is it going to make a difference?
Well, it didn't occur to me that they weren't going to play.
Right.
What will make a difference, unfortunately, in this game, what's going to make a difference is if Michael Ojemudia can play at least as well as he did last week, probably better. This game is likely to be in shootout territory.
Right.
And, you know, the difference that these guys make, while it matters, it's, you know, the way the Broncos are going to have to keep pace with the Bills is they're going to have probably the best offensive game they've had all year.
Yeah.
And certainly having Bowles and Gordon and Lindsey helps make that possible, and Noah Fant as well. But frankly, given that Noah Fant and Garrett Bowles were able to come home on Monday, it actually didn't occur to me this morning that those guys wouldn't play.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
I am totally with you on that. I figured that they would play. It's nice to have them back.
Yes.
And they will have them back, but does it make much of a difference?
Well, I mean, if basically it takes them from having, say, a 30%. If they didn't have those guys, instead of having a 30% chance to win, they'd probably have about a 10% chance.
Yeah.
At best.
All right. So we talked about moral victories after the Chiefs game, 22-16. It was a close game. And there are no moral victories for players because I have, in all my years covering sports, I have never seen a team celebrate after a loss. It's really more for the fans as much as anything else. And do you feel that your team is on the right track moving forward? Are the Bills good enough where if it's a close game and they lose, that from a fan's perspective, hey, we're getting closer?
It actually depends what kind of close game it is.
No, I don't mean you're down 24 in the fourth quarter and you make it a 3-point game. I'm talking about close throughout.
I think that's part of it, but I think you're likely going to have a shootout, right?
You're going to have a shootout. You're going to have one team firing all of its bullets against an inexperienced Broncos secondary.
And here's the thing. If the Bills score 34 points, that's about what you expect. Because you figure Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, Cole Beasley, John Brown, if he's back, he's been designated for return and he's practicing, but it's still kind of wait and see. But you figure those guys are going to get their numbers and put some points on the board. But if the Broncos play well offensively and they lose, say, 34-31, but Drew Lock throws for 300, he has, say, 3 touchdowns, 1 pick, looks really good, and is having to push it down the field, and they're in the game because of him, that's where, for the fans, it'll feel like a moral victory.
Right.
But I'm not sure 20-17 losing that game and they're kind of grinding it out, I don't know if that has the same effect. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Correct me on this, because I could be wrong. I saw this from Pro Football Focus today on Twitter. Did you see what they said about Garrett Bowles?
Yeah. And we mentioned it a couple weeks ago.
481 pass attempts for the Broncos.
And he hasn't given up a sack.
That's unbelievable. And he's had very few holding calls. Clearly, he's not going to win comeback player of the year, because he doesn't even probably qualify. That is going to go to Alex Smith.
Mm-hmm.
But with that, can you think of another career that essentially went from worst to first? And that's essentially what Garrett Bowles has done. You can make the case he was one of the worst left tackles in the league last year. And now you can make the case he's one of the best, if not the best.
The guy that came to mind was Terry Bradshaw. In 1973, he ranked in passer rating 22nd of 28 quarterbacks and was doing so poorly. That was year 4 for him that they brought in Jefferson. They had Jefferson Street, Joe Gilliam, ready to go. And he was starting games early in the 1974 season. But then Terry Bradshaw, he got his feet under him. He started to play a little bit better. Now, granted, they had a great defense, great running game around him.
Right.
But he got back on his feet. By 1975, Bradshaw started to become a reason why the Steelers were winning. And he was on his way to a Hall of Fame career. That's the one that came to mind. Someone that went from a guy who multiple years into his career was one of the worst, if not considered the worst at what he did, to somebody who became the best.
Yeah. And the funny,
it's a short list though, isn't it?
It's a pamphlet.
Yeah.
If that. It's like a line on a legal pad.
And what's interesting is,
and Bradshaw I love the fact that you thought of something, because honestly, I couldn't think of anyone. Bradshaw doesn't even compare to Bowles.
And what's interesting is, for both of them, their football intelligence was questioned severely.
Yes. Yes. Well, I'll take it a step further. Their intelligence, has been questioned. Their intelligence has been questioned by I'm not even talking about media members. I'm talking about people inside those organizations. People looked at Terry Bradshaw as just flat out dumb.
Yeah.
And he got into it constantly with Chuck Knoll. Terry Bradshaw was Chuck Knoll's pinata on the sidelines. He would be all over him all of the time. And Garrett Bowles, while he wasn't chewed out on the sidelines, not looked at as much of a football player or immature, I was told by numerous people, doesn't take to coaching, doesn't listen when he is, when he's criticized, he kind of laughs it off. I mean, just everything that you don't want in a teammate was said about Garrett Bowles. And that was said to me by his current and former teammates. And this turnout round has been nothing short of remarkable. I mean, the entire city was after him.
Yeah.
Holding number 72, you could put that on a t-shirt and sell hundreds of thousands of them to Broncos fans.
Well, just this past Valentine's Day, I put out the, You know, the short poem, roses are red, violets are blue, holding offense number 72.
Ooh, nicely done.
Yeah, thank you.
Well,
got quite a reaction. People thought it was funny.
Well, he had his own nickname, Garrett Holds. Think about that. Garrett Holds, now it's Pro Bowls.
Yeah. And what did he do? Well, the first thing is, he actually started listening to the people who were trying to help him.
Right.
Now, that's where you wonder if they just had to get the greatest offensive line coach of his generation, Mike Munchak, the best currently working in the NFL, and it took somebody like that with so many skins on the wall,
right,
as John Fox would say,
right,
that if Garrett Bowles didn't listen to him, he'd just be a damn fool.
Right.
Just a damn fool.
Right. All right, coming up after the break, we're going to go out to Buffalo, New York, bringing a longtime friend of mine. John Murphy and I worked together back in the mid-1990s. He is the play-by-play voice of the Bills. We will preview this upcoming game, as everyone is now saying, Josh Allen is the man. Is that how he is looked at in Buffalo? That's next.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive, Goodman Mason. Watch us at milehighsports.com. You can reach us, Granite Liquidators Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you are looking for something smooth and refreshing for the holidays, you need to check out Denver Distillery. They have gold medal winning spirits, talking about sweet potato vodka, Colorado gin, straight four grain bourbon, apple pie moonshine, and bourbon barrel aged spiced rum. I've had a lot of this stuff, not all at one time. It is fantastic. It's great to mix. It is great to sip. You need to get some Denver Distillery in your life. You can find them in their brewery at 244 South Broadway in Denver, or you can walk into your local liquor store and just ask for it by name, and if they don't have it, demand it. Time now for The Buzz.
The Buzz is presented by Bubbles Liquor World. Go to Bubbles Liquor World in Castle Rock for the lowest prices on beer, wine, and spirits.
All right, let's go out to the hotline. I want to bring in a longtime friend, a guy that I used to work with in Buffalo, New York. He is the play-by-play voice of the Buffalo Bills. And, of course, everybody remembers John Murphy from the movie Bruce Almighty. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. I was enjoying that Bob Marley Buffalo Soldier thing a second ago. You know what reminded me of? Can I tell you a quick story?
Absolutely. John, I always love your stories.
That song, so there was a boxing, a pretty big boxing match in Buffalo at the old auditorium. It had to be 1980-something. It was Ray Boom Boom Mancini,
yep,
against Livingstone Bramble.
Yeah.
And Bramble won, and he came out to, it was a kind of a short fight. I think it was a 3-round knockout or something, but Bramble came out to that song, Buffalo Soldier, and I thought he's got good karma from that song, and he beat Boom Boom Mancini. It was a big fight.
Yeah, well, your team right now has great karma going, doesn't it? And I'm gonna put you on the spot here. Do you remember when we worked together? So Murph was the sports director at WKBW in Buffalo, and I was on his staff as an anchor reporter. Do you remember what years we worked together?
Oh man. Wow, I would say mid-90s, 93.
You know what?
95.
Your first reaction sums up what everybody around the NFL is thinking. Oh, man. Oh, wow. We worked together from 94 to 96, and that is the last time the Bills won the AFC East. So, oh,
yeah,
man. Oh, wow, is saying something. Obviously,
yeah,
winning the Super Bowl is the goal. But how big would it be for that town to finally win a division again?
Yeah, would it be? I mean, it's going to happen. It probably happened Saturday afternoon, to be honest.
Whoa, really?
It'll happen by the end of the
You're
weekend.
On Denver radio, Murph, really? You're just yeah, coming out and throwing it all out there?
I think most people in Denver would say that, too.
Yeah, we would.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen this weekend, I think. It'll be big. I think, you know, to their credit, the guys who run this team, Brandon Bean, the general manager, and Sean McDermott, the coach, said at the beginning of the season, even back in August when things were so screwed up and no one knew if the NFL was going to play an entire schedule, but they knew what the goal was. The goal was a home playoff game. So if they win the division, they get a home playoff game, and that's been kind of the target for the Bills in 2020 all season long. I think the way they played the last 3 weeks, they may be geared up for more than that, right? If they get to – I mean, there's a chance they could be the number two seed in the AFC, a realistic chance, which might give them two home playoff games. And we'll see. You know, we'll see how it goes. But I think, yeah, it would be good mostly because it guarantees a home playoff game, and I think they're pretty excited about that.
Now, of course, as you've seen, this team has taken the next step, especially on offense. I'm actually going to ask you a question that I asked Vic Fangio here in Denver today. And what has been the impact of Stephon Diggs on allowing this Buffalo offense to go to another level?
He's been sensational, and I think they expected a lot from him, and he has delivered more than they expected they'd get. You know, he's got 100 catches. He's already tied for the single-season Bills receptions record with Eric Mould, an 18-year record. He's been great. And I think the questions about Stephon Diggs when the trade was made back in March, the questions centered on and what kind of a teammate is this guy? You know, they're very careful about their team culture here, McDermott and Bean. And, you know, Diggs had voiced some complaints about Kirk Cousins in Minnesota and not seeing the ball enough, and they were running the ball too much, and you wondered how was he going to fit in with kind of a young quarterback, Josh Allen. He's fitting great. He's a tremendous teammate. He's a team leader. He's a good support guy for Josh Allen. They talk kind of constantly during the course of a game. He's exceeded expectations. He really has, both in productive and in terms of his temperament.
We're talking with John Murphy, play-by-play voice of the Buffalo Bills and a member of the Buffalo Broadcasters Hall of Fame. He was inducted in 2019. I got to tell you, I don't know what they were waiting for. That should have happened in 2018.
Yeah, it was a long wait.
Right. Let's talk about 2018 as I segue to myself. That was Josh Allen's first year. Struggled big time. Did you think a couple of years later, after watching him struggle, that he would be doing this and having his name mentioned as an MVP candidate?
You know, I thought he'd be good, and there were he did struggle from time to time in his rookie year in 2018, but I saw a couple of things back then. I saw how hard he worked, for one. I mean, he's just a really hard worker, and he did that in the offseason from 2018 to 2019, and I think he took big steps forward again this year. So his hard work and his competitive nature was there as a rookie. I mean, the guy just hates to lose a play. And they have like locker room ping pong games that he get all worked up about and couldn't talk to people because he might have lost the championship game. I mean, he was a little bit ridiculous in terms of competitiveness, but it served him well. I didn't think he'd be this good. I never thought he'd be a 68% completion guy, which I believe he is right now. That's a full 10 points ahead of his completion percentage in a couple of years ago. I never thought he'd be as poised and as, you know, just as tuned into the game plan as much as he is now. But he works hard and he competes, and he really has a good mind meld going with his offensive coordinator, Brian Daboll, and it's really paying off for the Bills.
Well, listen, I'm sure that Allen is competitive when it comes to ping pong, but he doesn't hold a candle when it comes to being competitive with John Elway. Do you know the pool table story about John Elway?
No.
So he had a pool table in his house, and he had never lost on it. I mean, ever lost on his own pool table. And one day, Bubby Brister comes over, and they played pool, and Brister won. And the next day, Elway sold that pool table.
That's great.
Yeah. That's great. So unless Allen is selling ping pong tables, he's got nothing on Elway.
That's right. Yeah, that's a good point.
You alluded to the completion percentage. I mean, 68.6, that's something that a lot of people didn't really foresee him getting to when they were looking at him going to the draft process. So what has allowed him to go from a guy who was 53% 2 years ago to one of the most accurate passers in the game right now?
You know, I think it's his head. It's not, he didn't change really his throwing motion or the way he throws, but he thinks the game much better now, and he sees the field much better, and he's in total command of this Brian Daboll offense now. And I think he feels much more comfortable, knows where the open guys are going to be, knows when to check it down and throw underneath the coverage and find one of the outlet guys there. Still loves the long ball, but he doesn't attempt it as much. I just think he's a smarter player, and I think it pays off for him in terms of completion percentage.
We are talking with John Murphy, play-by-play voice of the Buffalo Bills. Andrew and I were talking about this on the show yesterday, kind of comparing a little bit the Bills this year to the Chiefs last year in terms of their defense. I know the Bills' defense was supposed to be terrific this year, and it got off to a slow start. But the comparison that I made was the Chiefs' defense wasn't very good at the beginning of last year either. But suddenly they started to build some momentum as they got closer to the end of the season, and they got better. Is that what we are now finally seeing with this Bills' defense?
Yeah, I don't know how much of a comparison to make to the Chiefs, but I know for the Bills, they are getting better for the last month and a half.
Well, I mean their defense. I mean their defense, yeah, Murph. Yeah. How that? I mean, they're off. The Chiefs' offense last year was great. Bills' offense this year is great. I'm only talking about to have complementary football. The Bills' offense is there. Defense wasn't there early. Now their defense is getting better heading into the playoffs.
Yeah, their defense is better. Last 6 weeks or so, their defense has been good. They're doing a couple of things. They're getting much more pass rush. And they made an adjustment. You know, Leslie Frazier was a guy who didn't throw many blitzes at his opponents, at least first couple of years he was here with Buffalo. But they do blitz more often now than they did in the first, say, month and a half of the season. And it pays off, you know. And it's, I'm not even talking about sacks. I'm talking about hurries and quarterback pressures and forcing bad plays. And by that, I mean they get takeaways. They get a lot more takeaways over the last month and a half than they had at the beginning of the season. And it all adds up to a complimentary game, as you say, and it really helps out the offense to see short fields from time to time and a team that puts them in a good position with a short field. And that's because the defense is playing so much better.
Buffalo, as you know, they're a Hail Mary away from having 7 wins in a row here, yeah, are the Bills. I mean, it's really remarkable. But what is the scenario that could trip them up and leave them susceptible to an upset, if there's any, going into this game?
In this game?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the Broncos are capable, right? They're capable. They're good defense. I think they're a strong defense. I think I was just watching this afternoon. I just finished watching the game from 2 weeks ago, the Chiefs and the Broncos, and there are a couple good runs by Denver in there, and that's not a strong suit for the Bills' rush defense. And if the Broncos commit to the run and run the ball well, the Bills could have a little bit of a problem. I think they have been susceptible to opponents' rushing games, and that's something, you know, with Melvin Gordon, obviously, and Lindsey, that's something that the Broncos are capable of doing. That might be the biggest threat I see to a Buffalo victory, the Broncos successfully running the football on Saturday afternoon.
So, Murph, you and I have known each other for a long time now. You are a grandfather. We mentioned, yeah, at the beginning of this segment that you were in the movie Bruce Almighty. Do you believe those residual checks from that movie can put your grandbabies through college?
I wish I'd see one. I'll tell you, I won't tell you on air, but there's a story about what our common employer back then did to kind of X me out of the residual checks. They made it part of it. The short version is they made it part of promotional considerations, my 3-second appearance, as opposed to me getting actually, a credit. I'm not even credited in the credits because Channel 7 sold me out.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, different management, different owners back then, but they did it.
Well, you and I both worked for a terrific company called Granite Broadcasting, and I got to tell you, my career has never been the same after working with Bill Ransom and that whole great cast of corporate heads out there, don't you think?
Well, I'm not going to name any names, but I think we know who's running the place.
Listen, I'm in Denver. I can say his name. And the fact that I even remembered his name off the top of my head, and I can't tell you what I had for lunch yesterday, certainly says something. So, I don't know. With that, you believe you guys are going to come in and win this game?
Yeah, I think the Bills will win. I don't, you know, there are no real easy wins in the NFL. Most games are close. And I do think the Broncos are capable. They play good defense. They can run the ball well. But I think the Bills, they have a lot of firepower, and they're on a, you know, every once in a while you see a team that's on a roll, and the Bills are in a really pretty impressive roll right now. As you said, 6 of their last 7 are wins, and they could have been 7 except for one play in Arizona. They're really rolling right now. They're pretty healthy. So I do think the Bills will win this game.
I don't know how much how much anybody with the team, specifically Josh Allen, has been asked about this, but I'm guessing they are aware that the Broncos are essentially down to their fifth, sixth, and seventh cornerbacks. Has he been asked about that at all?
I haven't heard anybody ask him that. I'm sure in the coaching meetings and the quarterback room that's discussed, we're not facing this guy, we're facing this guy instead. I don't know if that would change their approach much. I mean, they have a game plan going in, what they want to do with football. But, it's a break for the Bills if that's the way it plays out on Saturday.
Yeah. Hey, Murph, thanks so much for your time. Say hello to Mary for me and kiss those grandbabies.
Okay, thanks, sir. Good to talk to you guys.
My man, John Murphy, play-by-play voice of the Buffalo Bills. Coming up after the break, we talked about it in the first hour of the show. Nolan Arenado could be on the move, according to John Morrissey from MLB.com. We'll talk about that next.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive, Goodman, Mason. Watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us, Granite Liquidators Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. Go to graniteliquidators.com. Time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending is presented by Colorado Off-Road in Littleton. If you need major accessory brands or something off-market for your truck, car, Jeep, or SUV, they've got it. Upfit today at Colorado Off-Road or go to cooffroad.com.
Well, MLBs.com, John Morrissey reporting the Rockies, quote, want to engage the Mets for a deal involving Nolan Arenado. Morrissey is proposing Robinson Cano would come back to the Rockies to help offset the money that'll be given to Arenado, while Morrissey also speculated that Brandon Nimmo, an outfielder and a prospect, could round out that deal. Now, Robinson Cano is going to miss all of this upcoming season because he tested positive for PEDs. He's making $24 million this year, next year, the year after that, but that will help offset for the Mets the salary they will be taking in for Nolan Arenado, which is $35 million a year. As for Brandon Nimmo, again, he is an outfielder. We're getting to that in a second. Rockies would reportedly use the freed up money from Arenado's deal to pay Trevor Story, who is set to become a free agent at the end of the season. I'm guessing John Morrissey talked to enough people where he's just not throwing Cano out there, Nimmo out there, and a prospect out there. I'm guessing he has some information on what the Mets would want to give back. If that's what the Mets are offering, I don't think the Rockies could get a worse deal.
Well, it's a salary dump. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, Robinson Cano is a contract they want off their books. And basically, if you're the Rockies, you're viewing it as, okay, how do we get potentially $199 million off, which is what they'd be on the hook for if Nolan Arenado takes his option. And we've discussed in the economic climate that confronts Major League Baseball and confronts free agents in the next couple of years, Nolan Arenado would probably be foolish to not take the option and play out the rest of the deal because that's money in the bank that he is not going to get on the market, even if he has a huge bounce back year in 21.
For lack of a better phrase, let's go back in Rockies history and look at the best four players over the last 15, let's call it 20 years. Todd Helton, He eventually wanted out because he didn't feel this team can win.
Right.
Matt Holliday wanted out because he didn't feel this team can win. Nolan Arenado now wants out because he doesn't feel this team can win. And the next up is Trevor Story, and he's looking at potentially a big contract. I understand the finances right now around baseball, but he's the next great Rocky, and he is the best Rocky outside of Arenado. If Trevor Story hasn't learned from Arenado, Holliday, and Helton.
Tulowitzki, too.
And, you know what? Tulowitzki, throw him in there. Yeah. That's right. He wanted out. So the last five great players in this organization's history, four of them wanted out. I hope Trevor Story has some conversations with those guys before he thinks of putting ink to paper.
And these are guys who would basically, you'd think, would enjoy playing at Coors Field, would enjoy getting 81 games a year at a hitter's park, would enjoy the statistical bump that you get by playing all by playing half of your games at Coors Field. It'd be one thing if a pitcher says, "I want out. I just can't deal with pitching there. It's a nightmare. You know, my pitches don't have bite here. I can't function." But you have guys, the best everyday players, some of the best hitters in baseball over the last two decades, who have eventually thrown their hands up at the lack of success for the organization and the lack of direction and say, "We don't want this anymore."
Right.
What does that tell you?
Well, you know what? I'm not going to sit and defend the organization, but there are a lot of challenges to playing here. Number one, in altitude, it's more difficult to recover when you have an injury. Not an unfair statement. Would mm-hmm. you agree?
Yeah.
When you play here, now that we have the humidor, but the ball still doesn't break as much as if you are at sea level where there's humidity. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, there's nothing you can do about that. And of course, to compensate for that, you have a park where if you're in the outfield, you've got a vastly more territory to cover. And, you can be a great defensive player and you're still going to see more balls that drop in between the second
park.
Baseman and the center fielder. You're going to see more balls get to the wall. Like you said, it's a doubles park.
Here's the thing.
Because the gaps are bigger.
Not to go baseball 101, but you understand this, Mace, as well as anybody else. Hitting is about timing. That's why for a guy who hits a fastball and rushes up his bat speed, that's why he swings through a breaking ball at 84 when the fastball comes in at 96, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you got a rhythm going when you're here and the ball isn't breaking as much here, right?
Right.
Then you go on the road and the ball is breaking more and your timing is now off once you hit the road. If you're wondering why splits are so significant, home and away, that is the reason why. It's not as if these guys can't hit. It's just you're on a roll here and you know what to expect. And even though you know what to expect on the road, it's not as simple as I know this is coming.
Yeah.
Your bat speed is different. Levels are different in terms of pitching as well, where the breaking ball doesn't break as much. It's more difficult to hit on the road than at home, but it is different. And it's the same mm-hmm. thing for pitching.
Yeah.
If you got a big 12-6 curveball, if you're pitching in Miami or in Atlanta, it's not going 12-6 here in Denver. So you have to adjust how you pitch and get used to it. That's one reason why it is so difficult to play here and win here, because it's 81 games on the road and 81 games at home, and you have to keep adjusting your game.
And just look at Nolan's numbers over the course of his career. He bats 59 points higher at home than on the road.
Right.
The 322 hitter here, he's a 263 hitter away.
Right.
Every across the board, average down, average on balls in play down, OPS down, slugging down, everything down.
And I know what he did last year.
Yeah.
But to suggest that because he's 263 on the road, that he's going to hit 263 if he leaves here is just ludicrous.
Yeah.
Because he will be playing roughly at sea level for every game outside of Coors. So he won't have to do the home and away thing where he has to make those adjustments. He will be able to make those adjustments because it'll be more consistent for him. What do we have coming up on Advanced Tax Solutions, just in case you missed it?
The NFL is planning to invite a special group of football fans to the Super Bowl as guests of the league. We'll tell you what group of fans that will be after the break on Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason.
After Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back, Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason, watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us on the Granite Liquidators Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. I want to tell you about a great decision that I recently made. I finally decided to put together a living trust for my kids. I wanted to make sure that they were covered. I wanted to make sure that if, God forbid, something happens to me, that they are taken care of. So I decided to go with Dan McKenzie at McKenzie Law. I did a lot of research into who I felt the most comfortable working with, and Dan was easily the best choice for me. He explained everything, was very patient with me, as Andrew, you know, can be difficult, right?
Sometimes.
Well, I'm sure Dan will say, potentially, he might say, well, sometimes, maybe a little bit more than sometimes, but he was just absolutely terrific. And you know what? We now have everything done, and I have that peace of mind that I need with Dan. With that, Dan, how are you, my friend?
Good. How are you?
I am terrific. When it comes to a will or a living trust, I'm guessing people are thinking, well, I don't have a ton of money. Why do I really need to do anything? I wouldn't say that's necessarily true, is it?
It's definitely not. Obviously, in addition to drafting plans, we also do the trust administration and the probates when people pass away, so we get to see what happens. And I will tell you that we get into a lot of situations where things are difficult and people are disagreeing with one another and fighting over assets that, from the outside, most people would consider to be very, very modest. So it really does not take a lot.
So you just brought up a word that I think probably scares a lot of people, and it did me, and that's the word probate. With that, what is the difference between a will and an estate plan?
So, you know, there's different types of estate plans, and it's all about how you want to distribute your assets, and there's various ways to do that. One is to co-own assets with someone else. One is to name them as a designated beneficiary. One is to name them in your will, and then there's also trust. But the point is that if you have not really come up with a plan, a court needs to oversee the distribution of your assets, and they will be following state law and kind of guessing as to what you want if you haven't really put those instructions together.
I don't want you to scare anybody out there, but I want you to be able to put it into perspective. What have you seen in your career with someone that didn't have a will or a living trust? How bad can it really get?
It's really the problem is the unpredictability, actually. I mean, I wish I could give you like, well, it'll cost you this much if you don't have a will, and then you could plan around that, right?
Right.
But we've seen situations where people don't have wills and actually goes fine. And then we've had other situations where people have wills and they're just badly drafted, or they're out of date, or they just don't really make much sense, or they're different than what the people expected. And in those situations, people can fight. So I always tell people, it's not just about having a plan, but the plan also needs to be good. And so it's helpful to connect with someone or somebody who's done this and seen how it goes once the rubber meets the road.
Now, let's just add one more thing into the mix. A living will. How important is it to have those documents signed if, God forbid, you're in the hospital and you're non-responsive?
I always tell people that if you have heard of a probate case, it's probably a case involving that situation where somebody is in a precarious medical situation and people are having to make very difficult decisions. And unlike the situations we were just discussing where you pass away without a will, I mean, there are rules in place. Like, we will figure it out. Something will happen to your house, whether you wrote down what to do with it or not. It's not going to sit there for the rest of time unused. But there are no rules when somebody is in a precarious medical situation. It's the doctors and the family trying to figure it out. And if they don't agree and they don't have instruction from you, that can really go sideways. And that's why you've heard of cases like Terry Schiavo, for instance, where you've got the President of the United States flying back and forth in the middle of the night to sign orders. I mean, that's extraordinary, right?
Yeah.
So those are real difficult situations.
Dan, how do people get a hold of you?
They can call us, 303-578-2745. Our website is themckenziefirm.com.
All right, themckenziefirm.com. Dan, thank you for all the work that you did with me, with my fiance, and honestly, I'm so glad that I finally took care of this. So thank you to everything that you and your crew did.
Yeah, appreciate the opportunity. Thank
all right.
you so much.
Have a great day.
Okay, you too.
Time now for the final word.
The final word. Presented by Sasquatch Casino in Black Hawk. Just in case you missed it, is presented by Advanced Tax Solutions. If the IRS is coming after you for back taxes, you need to work with Advanced Tax Solutions. Find them at AdvancedTaxSolutions.com.
Just in case you missed it, Roger Goodell and the NFL have announced that they plan to invite vaccinated healthcare workers to Super Bowl 55 at Raymond James Stadium in Tampa, Florida. And they will be guests of the league, so I would assume they're given the highest treatment and some pretty good seats. Thoughts on this plan by the NFL to invite vaccinated healthcare workers to the Super Bowl?
Well, it's interesting because I guess in theory, if everyone's vaccinated, you should be able to have a full house, right? If you just if you had 65,000 vaccinated people, presumably that would work, right?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, then you'd be if you have healthcare workers only, you'd be having to get healthcare workers from around the country. But you know what? It's kind of the least that the NFL can do to say thank you to the healthcare workers is to say, this day is yours. We're going to give you free tickets. We'll give you free transportation. We're going to say thank you with the Super Bowl being on us on the house.
I couldn't agree more. You said it. I couldn't have said that any better.
I mean, even if they're paying for planes to fly healthcare workers in from all over the country, right? Let's say it's a Chiefs Packers Super Bowl. The NFL should be footing the bill for charter planes of Chiefs and Packers fans who are healthcare workers and are vaccinated to come on down and watch the game.
Yep.
Absolutely. This should be their day.
Yep. I agree.
Just in case you missed it, the Pac-12 championship will take place this weekend. It will be between 3-2 Oregon and 5-0 USC, who's ranked number 13 in the latest college football playoff rankings. Washington was initially supposed to be in the Pac-12 title game. They are unable to field enough scholarship players. Is this the right move by the Pac-12 to have 3-2 Oregon play 5-0 USC?
You know, this is just one of those years where it is what it is. And that's why when I look at teams' records, you just don't know who's even playing. So how can you truly evaluate these teams? You know, it's funny because CU could have made a strong argument if they would have beaten Utah that they should have played in this game. But they lost their argument when they lost at home to Utah, right?
But they still have a better record.
I understand that.
I mean, they're 4-1 here, and
you think they should be playing USC?
I think that they've got a better case than Oregon. I think the divisional alignment would matter if you managed to play everybody within your division, but because of cancellations, that hasn't been the case. See, you only got to 4 conference games. They went 3-1 in those, beat San Diego State in the other game. At this point, I think you just throw caution to the wind and you forget about the divisional alignment. It shouldn't matter at this point because you weren't able to complete a divisional schedule. So why they have to have the fidelity and say, all right, well, it has to be somebody from the north that replaces Washington. No, it shouldn't have. It should have just been CU playing that game.
All right, that was Advanced Tax Solutions. Just in case you missed it, if the IRS is hunting you down for unpaid taxes, if the state of Colorado is doing the same thing, my suggestion is go to Advanced Tax Solutions. Sounds like you, somebody you know, give them a call, 303-753-6040, 303-753-6040, or go to AdvancedTaxSolutions.com. Alex, Danny, great job today. Same with you, Mace. I'll try and do better tomorrow. Make it the best possible night you can.